Steve Clark at home well in and around our area hospitals. Just came off a shift, and we thank him so much for giving us updates. Steven, how are you, sir? Hope you're well.
I'm good. How are you?
Hanging in there, my friend. You just got your second shot, correct? Vaccination. How'd that go? Process.
No, I didn't get it yet. I'll be getting it in a few days.
Okay, good. Everything kind of as planned as far as frontliners like yourself. How has the process been in and around your colleagues?
Great. You know, I work for Northwell, obviously, and they're pumping us out like a factory. So there's always a bunch of people in there getting vaccinated, and they're doing them very quickly. I mean, they're very busy, and they're getting through all of us at every hospital. And it runs pretty much 7 days a week, day shift, night shift. So they're doing a great job.
Good. Give us an idea what's happening in and around right now. You're there. You see it, the numbers, the surge, the holiday stuff. We're starting to see a bit of a level of not having as many cases. We still have a long way to go. What are you seeing as far as ICU hospitalizations in general from where you're at?
I think I explained this to you last time too, but you know, last year we would make people like an ICU level of care a lot easier than we do now. So ICU beds are more available, and people may feel like that means that like there's not as many people, like, let's say, critically ill, quote unquote. But now regular floors in hospitals are taking patients that last year would have been ICU level of care. So when you look at, like, beds, like, you know, we have different levels. So there's, like, a medical level, there's a telemetry level, which is cardiac monitoring, and then there's ICU level. So there's a lot of patients on medical and telemetry floors that, like I said, last year would have been ICU. So when people read about there's a lot of ICU beds available, that's because we're not putting all those people in ICU like we were last time. So, but there's still people that are decently sick. I mean, you know, I told you last time as well, they don't get intubated as early, and that seems to have a little bit better of an outcome, which is good. But there's still a lot of people very sick from it, and, you know, it's still something that's, you know, to be taken seriously.
Now, you had told me that the intubation process, we're doing a lot better to avoid that, you know, from the last go-around. Obviously, we spoke about this remdesivir, which seems to be a pretty good treatment as far as fighting off this virus. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah, this is like the longest run that I've seen from my perspective that it's been a very consistent treatment plan. You know, like, everybody is getting, you know, almost everybody is playing on certain things, but people are getting treated with remdesivir and Decadron, which is steroid. I mean, it's very specific. It's like remdesivir for a specific amount of days, and usually it's 6 milligrams of Decadron for a set amount of days. And, you know, last year you would see, you know, the treatment plan on patients change like every week or two. 2 weeks would go by or a week would go by, and, you know, they would change. Like, we were giving zinc, and, you know, we were giving steroids and not giving steroids and so on. But this has been going on for months now, and it seems to be working well. That, and again, also trying to avoid intubating people as much as possible, where previously, you know, people would have had better outcomes being intubated based on the way they presented. Now it's like, you know, really trying to hold off as much as possible.
Steve, are we still seeing the same types of patients, those of elder years and those with compromised conditions, still the top two tiers as far as being susceptible to this virus?
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I've seen a couple people pass in their 30s and 40s that weren't sick over the last few weeks. But that's not the common place. It's more often, like you said, you know, elderly, obviously, people that have high blood pressure, people that are diabetic, you know, people that are obese, you know, not even, and when I say obese, I'm not talking like, not necessarily morbidly obese, but if you're carrying around with even an extra like 25%, you know, that can be enough to have, you know, that can make you be severely ill from this versus moderately ill, you know. So even if you're just walking around with an extra 50 pounds, which a lot of people are, and, you know, it's kind of socially accepted to be a little bit overweight, it can still have a major effect on how sick you get from that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no question. Any talk of the new variant that has been found now in and around? We have around 25 cases or so in New York. And what about the discussion there? And have you seen any patients contract the second version of this virus?
I haven't seen that, and I don't. In our testing, when we see it, like I don't see like a differentiation between if they're positive for like that new variant or not. I don't know if that's just the way the labs are processing it, or I don't think that I'm able to see, from my view, if somebody has one versus the other. I just see if they're positive or negative for it. So I haven't seen it, but that may change. That could change like any day. And I don't think that if it does, I don't know that the treatment really is different. From what I've heard, you know, just reading stuff online, what everyone else has, I think it's supposed to not be as strong but more contagious. But you know, don't hold me to that because I don't really have much experience with that.
The same treatments that are ongoing in the case that you're stating with the remdesivir, that will still put up a pretty good fight as far as this other variant is concerned. You feel pretty confident as far as that.
I would hope, but that's way above my pay grade or knowledge, you know, as far as if that's going to be the best treatment for it. I mean, remember, we're still treating a virus. So, you know, viruses are always symptomatic treatment. You know what I mean? So it's not like you're treating a bacteria with an antibiotic. So, you know, you treat basically the symptoms and the inflammatory response that the virus causes. So in theory, it sounds like it should work, but, you know, this virus has kind of thrown the entire healthcare system for a loop. As far as like what treatments are best, and really changed the way certain things would look. I think I explained this to you last time I was on here, but everything with healthcare is always like evidence-based. So, you know, you look at outcomes of people on a grand scale, and when they present with certain symptoms and certain lab values, certain chest X-ray or CAT scan results, you know, you treat people based on criteria specific ways, and that. Doing that, you know, you get the best outcome for the most amount of people. But with COVID, a lot of those things change. And, you know, that's why a lot of people are being intubated, where in the past, that was always the way to treat it, you know. So who knows, you know, with this virus, as this variant and so on, if it'll be the same treatment that works the best or not. But I hope it is, you know.
Steve Clark with us. Roving nurse, giving us a little bit of an update. Any issues? I hope not, regarding the PPE and everything else. Plentiful supply. Yeah. You're in good shape there, Steve?
Yeah. I mean, I like I said, I only work for Northwell. I can't speak for any other healthcare system, but Northwell has the hospitals that I've been to have an abundance of supply for everybody. I haven't seen any shortage of any PPE at all, and they don't seem to be... But it doesn't seem to be a concern at the time. I mean, everyone gets new N95 every shift. If it gets damaged or, if, you know, it's very easy to get a replacement. Gown, foot covering, head covering, goggles, I mean, gloves, obviously. There's tons of it. I haven't seen a shortage of anything. And it seems to really put a good effort in that. You know, everything's stocked well at the hospitals that I've been to.
You know, as we see a little bit of light at the end of this very dark tunnel, you know, the positivity rate is still high here on Long Island. We know the numbers have lessened. You got that holiday surge that could be coming to a head here. So we're going to see a leveling off, we hope. What about morale within the front lines as far as the work you guys do? Can you guys see and kind of get a feel as far as where we are at in the world right now? With the vaccine, the rollout, yeah, there have been some issues. But what amongst the frontline workers as far as the conversations? Do you get a sense that possibly we might be on the winning side of this thing? It's going to take some time. We got a long way to go. But what's the conversation like within the frontline?
There's a lot of variability. And we discussed this as well in the past about as far as how people feel about the vaccine. Some people feel that it's new. Some people feel that it was rushed. Some people, you know, don't have an issue with it. I mean, I'm not particularly scared of vaccines. I look at vaccines like seatbelts. You know, you take 1,000 people and, you know, you may have, you know, that one or two person that, you know, fares better in a car accident because they didn't have the seatbelt on. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, if someone's wearing their seatbelt, they're going to do better in a car accident. I look at vaccines the same way, you know. So I think vaccines are going to, for the grand scale, give you a better chance at doing well. But not all my colleagues feel that way, if I'm being honest. And some people are holding out to see, you know, how everyone else does and if people have reactions and so on. As far as morale goes with like how we're doing with it, You know, really, I feel like that whole, like, intubation thing is, like, the biggest thing for us. Like, when we see somebody get intubated, we kind of start to feel like, you know, we're going to lose the battle with that person. But sometimes we don't, and we're able to, you know, get them extubated, we call it. And Northwell actually does this thing at some of their hospitals where they do, like, they call a code clap out, where, you know, they expect people to, like, clap and applause for people that get discharged, that were COVID positive and so on. So they're definitely trying to, like, boost morale, you know, make everybody feel like what they're doing is making a difference. If we keep people from being intubated, then I feel like and we can get them through, like, the worst part of it, then I feel like, you know, it makes us feel like we're making a difference. And it makes us feel positive that, you know, that those people are going to do better. And the patients are all very appreciative as well. And I think they feel they're getting good care. So I think morale is better than it was last year, I can tell you that.
I mean, at least, as you said, it gives people a chance if you don't have to intubate. Because when you intubate, you know, they could go on a ventilator. And certainly that is not good. So all in all, you're seeing a pretty good situation here. You have things under control, enough equipment and everything else. The vaccine's in place for those who want it. Regarding your line of work, you're in line for it. We can't thank you enough, my friend. Stay healthy, stay safe, okay? And thanks for the updates, and we'll call you soon again. Thanks so much.
All right. Sounds good. Take care.